Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to your favorite podcast. This is realestateinvestormba.com. We created Real Estate Investor MBA to leverage the knowledge of giants through synthesizing and providing much needed information to all investors, from the veteran investor to the new and aspiring investor. At Real Estate Investor MBA, we plan to cover pertinent information head on with our expert guests, who we will interview on what they are doing and preparing for in the days and years ahead. We aim to create MBA quality curriculum topics and themes from the information garnered among our interviewed guests in order to bring world-class value to our fellow community of listeners. We truly believe that rising water raises all ships, and by sharing this leveraged knowledge, we can create a stronger online community, which translates to stronger local, regional, and national communities. Your hosts are Jeremy Moyer, who is a veteran real estate investor and author of a new book called Are You Playing the Real Estate Game Blind? As well as Tejas Gosai, the owner of EXP Realty, the Tejas Gosai team, and also co-manager in a newly formed Regulation D private equity fund called the Lehigh Valley Private Equity Fund. Now let's get to the show.
Welcome to Real Estate Investor MBA. We'd like to start with a big thank you, Jeremy Moyer, my co-host. Big thank you to everybody who has made this show a stunning success. This started out as a COVID project, actually, and Jeremy has a very large Rolodex of real estate experience, so we wanted to highlight the Lehigh Valley, and it's been working. So we've had Mayor Salpanto, some folks. Actually, we have Matt Turek, who should be mayor soon, right? And Music Fest.
Cassie Hilgert,
that was a really great interview, and hopefully Music Fest is coming back this year. We'll see. But a lot of things happening, and I wanted to bring up one thing before we jump into the show. The Easton, we had Garrett Vassell on our program a while ago, and he talked about a project that is taking place. So here is what his project is in downtown Easton. It's called the Commodore, and it's 32 apartments, 1,675 retail space, office space 17,000. It's a huge project, 91,000 square feet altogether. The Commodore project just secured financing, so this is a big step in the Lehigh Valley, specifically Easton. It's been an underdog for many, many years. Everybody talks about Allentown, but Easton is very quickly expanding. So check out that podcast when you get a chance. And also Mayor Salpanto was a great one. So yeah, let's get into our show. Jeremy, we have a great guest today. Go with the intro.
Absolutely. So we're excited to announce our guest. We have Dan Satofsky here today. So Dan is a number one best-selling author of his first book, Passive to Prosperous. Dan has closed more than 1,000 fix and flips, 650 rental properties, 800 plus doors in multifamily projects, and more than 1,000 private money and non-performing note transactions, raising over $30 million in new investor money. Dan is an international speaker and educator on raising $1 million or more in 90 days or less, creating true passive wealth, becoming the bank, and the newest webinar series of creating over $10,000 monthly in passive income rental portfolio. Dan, that's one heck of a resume. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon and joining.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me on here. And yeah, it definitely is a lot. It actually tiresome to even hear it all, but I'm at this 30 years now. It's like, wow, am I really doing this 30 years? It's crazy. But yeah, exactly. I've been through it all in this industry, and I'm still sticking around, and I'm looking forward to doing another 30 years. So, and I'll always go where it takes us, you know. So, but I've been really, we've been back and forth. I'm really looking forward to the show because I've been watching you, and you guys are doing great stuff, and I love being on shows where you're putting out quality content, and that you're really giving back to the people. That's what it's all about for us. So, thank you for what you do.
Thank you very, very much, and it means a lot.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and also it looks like you're a busy guy, so you're putting out a lot of content, and it's high quality as well. It's rare to have actually all around great content, and your website also. Just before we jump into everything, you have a some free cheat sheets. You want to mention that real quick?
Yeah, well, I like to do that. I like to give back to everywhere I speak, because I do speak around, generally in person, and I can't bring hundreds of these PDFs with me, but it gives people like a rule of thumb. So it's my 8 simple steps. I actually wrote it myself. It's not a ghostwriter. And I just give people, opening up their mind, 8 simple steps to investing in real estate the way I do. And ultimately, my goal is always to create passive income. It's by becoming the bank. So it could be from non-performing notes, to turnkey rentals, to seller financing, to investors. I always like to create passive income for myself. And it's not always been that way, but that's where it's been over the last, let's say, 11 years.
Bravo.
That's awesome. Dan, let's start off with, we have a lot to get through. Let's start off with just telling everybody how you got, 30 years is a long time to be in real estate. So just how did you get started? First got you interested in, and then kind of where did you go from there?
Well, back in the day, I got started. I was in high school. I remember at the time there was not all this information that there was technology. You had to actually go to events. And there was 3 people whose events I went to. I remember it was like Russ Whitney, Colton Sheets, and Ron LeGrand. Those were the 3. I remember the 3 events that got me started. I don't even know if Rich Dad Poor Dad was around back then. So I went to those events and I was hooked. But I was a young kid and I just didn't know how to get a deal. And I was one of those that when you said you couldn't do it, I would always find a way to do it. I remember I bought my first condo with a credit card. I did an FHA loan. I used a credit card for the debt. And I don't recommend people doing it because I don't know what their mindset is. You can get a lot of trouble with that. So I'm very careful with saying it. But I was able to do that. So I was able to do cash advances, build credit, do cash advances on credit cards, pay myself and take the down payment for an FHA and get an FHA loan with 3% down and 6% sales concession. So that's how I burned my first condo. That was before I even went to the Navy. Then I wound up going to the Navy. I'm going to fast forward a little bit and make it quicker. I wound up going to the Navy as an E-1 in the Navy. I was making $248 every 2 weeks. I was making over $600 in rental income a month. All right. So now after boot camp, I'm in hospital course school, and I'm with all these men and women over 21 years old, and they're out drinking. I couldn't go out and drink because at the time I was not even 20. I was 19 and a half. So I'm making all the rental income. I'm making my checks of $248 every 2 weeks. And every time we got paid, these people over 21 would be eating steak and drinking beer on Fridays. But by Monday, they were eating bologna sandwiches. So that came to me. And all of a sudden, I learned, hey, they needed money. And probably what I did back then, I probably shouldn't have done, because it probably wasn't even legit. But I started lending money out at that time. And I said, this is pretty damn cool being the bank. I don't have to do anything. I become the bank. And from there, fast forward, I went and flipped. I love flipping properties. I love recreating them. I love doing all the work. I was making a lot of money. I was flipping at the time 50 to 80 properties a year. I was netting no less than, let's say, $70,000 to $100,000 on flip. Wow. So I was doing multiple 7 figures a year in flipping, to the point where you thought I was living a life that everyone loved. I mean, beautiful house, beautiful cars, cars that people dream of, right? That people show on social media, right? These cars, damn. I owned them. Boats. Jewelry, I mean, watches, watch collection I still have. And that was just really feeding my ego to the point where my wife was literally about had it with me. She told me at the time, you're not a good father. You're not a good husband. And it really, that's what my book is about. If you read my book, you'll see my first chapter, my why. That's what kind of was like a knife in my heart. It was like I tried to do everything, because growing up, I didn't really have the best parents, right? We didn't have money. So I said, I'm going to be rich. I'm going to be a great parent. But I was very well off, and I became the worst parent because I was just never around. I was flipping those 50-plus properties every single year, making multiple 7 figures a year, and I was working 100-plus hours a week, missing my wife, missing my kids, missing games, missing events. Even when I was there, I wasn't there. I wasn't present. So that was about 11 years ago. When that finally happened, I had to learn what to do to live the life I wanted to live, but do what I wanted to do. And really, it turned into passive income. Because all along, I had rentals, but I never had the portfolio I have today. And I always talk to people. I say it's a lot sexier flipping a property and making $80,000 than it is collecting $400 a month, right? And people are like, yeah. But when you do it multiple hundreds of times, it gets pretty damn sexy. And now it allows me to live the life I want to live, doing what I want, when I want, where I want. But I'm also very careful because I want people to understand, you know, I don't want them to compare themselves to me. We do have a lot of seller finance notes. We do have a lot of rental properties. I don't own any multis anymore. I sold over 800 doors of multis in 2019. No more. Every property I own is single family, either as a rental in a to B area or a seller finance note. That's all I have, right? And everything for me is passive income. And I know rentals aren't all passive income, but once you learn how to become the bank, and you learn how to do partials, and you learn how to borrow against your notes, you create the goal that nobody, that everyone dreams of. You take total control of your life. You set yourself up in such a way. And I never say anything's guaranteed, but this is about the most guaranteed you could ever be doing what I do. So that was fast forward my life from start to finish. I've gone through everything from buying and selling land deals, hotels, commercial buildings, strip centers, multifamilies. I love what I do now more than anything. I love being the bank.
Bravo. Bravo. Yes. You earn your stripes. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. I took a lot of lumps and I still take lumps, but it's truly been the best business I've ever done. And I love teaching other people how to do the same because maybe I can, you know, lessen the curve for them. Maybe I can, you know, stop them from going through working those 100-hour weeks. Because here's what happens, right? If you ask most people why they get involved in anything they do, it could be investing. It could be opening a business. I deal with a lot of contractors. I deal with insurance companies. I deal with dentists. I consult with them. If you ask any of them why they do what they do, most of them will tell you because I want to live the lifestyle where I don't have to answer anyone, right? I do what I want, when I want, where I want. Or they hate their 9-to-5 job and they want to get out. But they just trade one job for another job. That's all they do. And I did the same thing. And I have to be completely honest. I didn't start this from scratch and knock it out of the park day one. I did the same exact thing. That's how I know. So their vision says one thing, they want to do this, but their actions go like this. They don't align. They should be like this, but they're kind of separating. So if I can help people out to align to their vision, most people don't have a clue what their vision is. Most people don't have a clue what their why is. Why are they doing what they're doing? You know, because if you ask them and you watch their actions, they're not aligned with each other. So that's what I love doing now. Is that's why I love putting out as much content as I possibly could. Maybe a shortened curve for some people.
That's awesome, Dan. Thanks for sharing that. You just said a lot in those last few minutes. I kind of want to circle back to the strategy that you talk about quite often. I enjoy listening to you talk about this subject because it's very unique. Mm-hmm. It does make sense, but I don't think it's well understood. You know, acquiring the rental property and then selling it with the seller finance note and then doing partials. Can you just kind of general steps? You don't have to go super specific, but general steps on what you do, what markets you look for those properties in and why, and just kind of go from there.
Sure, that's a great question. And I teach heavily about emerging markets, what markets I'm in. There's a ton of emerging markets around the United States, but you know, to go quickly into what emerging market is, I want to be in a market where there's a lot of job growth, where there's a lot of infrastructure, low crime, good population. I want to generally have a big city over 100,000 people, and in a town, maybe a sub of that city of at least 20,000 people. I want to see jobs moving in the area, not just one industry, not like automakers were in Detroit back before they got knocked out, not like the dot-com bubble back in Silicon Valley. I want to be where there's multiple jobs. So no matter what happens in the economy, there will always be jobs. I want to be in a B, generally C plus, the B plus area, all right, for rental properties. And I want the rental properties to have a rent ratio of a 1% rent-to-value ratio. So property worth $100,000 generally should get about $1,000 a month in rent, okay, give or take $50. Okay, I don't buy in Class D areas, which are crime and drug infested areas. The numbers look great on paper, but you never get those. Okay. So those are the areas I want to be in. And the reason why is I always have to make sure when I get those properties, the numbers work both for me and for my investors, my end investors, somebody I sell that property to. Okay. How do I get my properties? Generally, most of it, as I teach people as well, how to deal with asset managers at the banks, right? I look to buy multiple properties in an area rather than just onesies, twosies in an area, dealing with wholesalers, dealing with sellers. That's just, I do it, but it's not really my cup of tea. I like to deal with asset managers where I see hundreds to thousands of deals every single week cross my desk. Now, I don't always buy them, but they cross my desk because I have a relationship with the asset managers. And it takes work. It takes work like it takes work with anything. You have to build that relationship and rapport with asset managers. So once you do that, they're just feeding you deals left and right. And we know what's coming in 2022 and 2023 once they stop kicking the can down the road. We know that there's going to be a ton of inventory out there. So we're just revving up, right? I raise private money. My investors all want to back our deals with their funds because with their IRAs and 401ks and Coverdells and cash and health savings accounts and life insurance policies, because they know we've always taken care of our investors. We've always paid them back. When we said we're going to pay them back, we always communicate with them and they love working with us. So that's how that works to acquire a property. That's the emerging markets. And then what I do is I over repair those properties. I make them what I call maintenance free. I call them hard. I make those properties hard. And how I do that is, you know, flooring, if it's wood floors, I'll redo them. If it's not, I'll put LVP in there. Roofs 10 years old and over, I change them. HVAC's 10 years old and over, I change them. Hot water heaters 5 years old and older, I change them. All new fixtures in the property, right? New toilet bowls, new sinks, new faucets, and new plates. I basically do that because one is I outrent the neighborhood by at least $50 to $75 every single time, sometimes $100. I have multiple people that want my property to rent it, okay? My average turnover, right, my average length time of stay of a tenant right now is over 6 years. My average turnover cost is unheard of. It's right over $1,500 on average. That's unheard of. If you paint and carpet a place, you're going to spend $5,000. I'm at right over $1,500. So, and my occupancy rate is over 96% right now. And I know a lot of statistics are made up, but I just went through this with my accountant this year. So I know where my numbers are. And we're constantly rolling between 94 and 97%. So, and I'm a numbers guy. I'm a KPI guy, so I have to know my numbers. So then I sell that property to an investor at turnkey rental. So it's rehabbed, rented, and managed already professionally. Now, if they want to switch managers, I'm not the property manager ever. They can go to whatever property manager they want. I don't believe in being a property manager. I just think it's conflict of interest. I sell it to them for 30% down or $20,000, whichever is greater. And I try to get them a decent return. So, and I hold the note. So I hold a note for 30 years, 30 year amortization with a 10 year balloon. So I'm doing more for them than most commercial lenders are doing for them. Mm-hmm. You know, and it gives them a chance to buy multiple properties. If somebody comes to me with $100,000, instead of buying one property, they can now buy three or four. That helps them create net worth. It helps me create three or four notes in my portfolio. And then I go back to the bank and buy another 20, 30 properties and I do it again. So that's what I generally, that's my business model. That's what I teach people to do. Now, will I do it on one property? I will. It's just I don't go out and chase that one property. It's just, it's too much competition out there with everybody else overpaying right now. Everybody else is getting the same letters from everybody. Everyone is the same phone calls. Everyone's dealing with the same people. I go direct to the asset manager and build a relationship there.
A few follow-up questions to that, Dan. How long, when you buy, fix it up, rent it out, how long do you season that tenant for before you sell or finance the loan to a new buyer? And then when the buyer puts down that $20,000 and have the payments coming in, and if you have to do a partial on the loan, do you then pay back your investor, or are you paying your investor the entire time you're holding that property?
My investors paid back with it. Essentially, my goal is to pay off my investor as fast as possible. Yep. So I'm paying back that investor with my down payment, with everything. I have an account and I pay them off. Generally, I hold deals. There's no specific amount of time. I generally like to hold a deal for at least 3 months to season the tenant to make sure the tenant's good. I don't want to turn up a property with a problem tenant. But there's properties I hold with tenants for a couple of years because I'm not out there. You'll never see me put my properties out there for sale. I generally work. Last year, I sold 182 properties, right? Mm-hmm. And I dealt with, out of 182 properties, I sold 14, that's it. Because my investors buy multiple properties. I like helping the investors I work with build their portfolio. Now, I do take new investors and I work with them. I'll give them a good deal. I'll give them one up front, see if they close. If they close and everything's good and they're happy, I tell them, walk before you run with us. I'm not one of these guys that try to oversell, because I want to build a relationship. I don't need to work with the most people. I need to work with the best people. So some of them will take a property right away because they're just ready and I have a property ready to go. Some will almost pre-order a property. They tell me, hey, I'm ready for another two properties. I won't tell them anything until I get something good, and they know that. So I'll tell them, listen, it could take a couple months for me to get you something. I want to make sure it's worth it for you to get it. I'm at the point in my career, and I'm just blessed to be at this point, where I don't need to sell anything, right? I don't need to do anything. I can enjoy my life the way it is. So I want to sleep at night, and I want to take care of people. That's really where it's at. And so there's no specific way. But my thing is, generally, let's just say if I buy a pool of 10 assets, non-performing notes or REOs from the bank, The first five or six, all that money coming in will pay back my investors. And then from four to five is all my profit. So essentially I'm paying them back. Now, in the beginning, I stopped selling partials about 5-6 years ago because I loved the passive income. I didn't want to sell partials anymore. And when I stopped selling partials, now I have a note. Let's say I have a $70,000 note, right, on a property. I can now go to investor two who has an IRA for $30,000. They'll give me $30,000 against my $70,000 note. I'll now pay back my lender in full because I got a down payment. I got the note. I got some rent. I'll pay them in full. And now I have a note where I'm making money up front. So I triple play. I make money when they invest the $30,000 with me. I make a spread on the mortgage payment and I make money at the end, right? So you have, when you own the note, you have the gold. That's what's so important. People don't think like this. They're like, oh, let me just wholesale. Let me flip. They don't think about getting paid multiple times. Generally, the rule of thumb for me is this. I pay back my investors. Usually I'm all paid back within 12 to 18 months. I have all my money back within 12 to 18 months. Everything after that is an infinite return. That's generally how I do my deals.
Love it. That's so awesome, Dan. Thanks for explaining that.
Yeah, in fact, you can see my board back here. But that's actually a breakdown of my students of our deals. It's like a science project.
It's like a stock market, man.
I think that's pretty good, but I love doing it.
Can I ask what type of like ownership vehicle or what do you use for, you know, syndicating the deal, or what's your method or favorable method?
Well, I raise cap. I run it right through an S corp. I'm not syndicating on deals like this. I'm lucky enough that I do have some lenders that will lend us. I mean, generally I can get up to $1 million from some of our lenders, but most of them are, you know, $250,000 to $400,000, and I'm buying pools of notes in that range. So I just generally go to one lender for a deal. I've done three syndications. I was planning a fourth syndication right before the pandemic hit, right? We're going to do a private lending syndication and another note syndication. But when the pandemic hit, I didn't want to start raising capital and paying interest on money that I couldn't use. So I put a pause on that. But right now I just raise capital, right? My company. That's it.
Bravo.
That's great, Dan. You mentioned earlier that you're only single family, no apartment building. I'm curious. There's so much activity in the apartment market. I'm curious to hear your take on that and why you sold the apartments and just focused on single family.
How could I not sell the apartments? There's so much activity. Everybody's getting in apartments, right? When I'm buying stuff at almost a 10 cap and they're offering me a 5.8 cap, How can I not sell? Apartments are I'm not going to say they're not good. One is they don't fit my model right now. They're anything but passive. Right, they're not. If you think they're passive, you're kidding yourself. They're not passive. Two is, I would still invest in apartments and multis, and I will again. You'll see, and I don't want to say I'll never do it again because I'm telling you what's coming in 2022 and 23, and I know because in 2009 and 10, I had the ability to buy multifamilies for 20 cents on the dollar. I just didn't have cash. I was equity rich, cash poor. So I'm going to change that this time, and I know what's coming. Here's the problem with apartments. People are overpaying. People are buying them at a 5.8 to 6 cap. If they're not buying them all cash, they're going to be in trouble. There's a reset period of 5 to 7 years on those apartments, right? Most multifamily deals, Fannie and Freddie. Mm-hmm. Well, what happens when those rates go up, right? Your debt coverage ratio is screwed. Your net operating income is screwed. And your cap rates get screwed. And they call those notes too. So nobody has seen that yet. I've been through that. I was lucky enough. I didn't own apartments back then. I would love to buy them. But that's what's going to happen. So I'm in as a value-add buyer. But right now, what's going on is crazy. When the last apartment I sold was 152-unit outside of Atlanta, Georgia. 152-unit. They went down with $150,000 money hard, right, on the letter of intent, hard. No due diligence period. They overpaid for it. It was just crazy. So how? Why would I compete with any? Everybody buying right now, if you knew the multifamily investors back in 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10, you're not seeing them right now. They're sitting waiting. They're cashing up waiting. It's all the new investors, all these gurus out there teaching about apartments that haven't gone through a market cycle yet. And when those notes get called due, and I'm telling you they will, you're gonna see a flood of them leave, and you're gonna see blood in the streets, and you're gonna see people like us scooping up. That's when I'll scoop up. But how can I not? I almost felt guilty. I said, the last one we sold, the guy kept coming back to us over and over and over again. I had two other partners, and they didn't want to sell. And I finally said, if you're not selling, you gotta buy me out, because I'm out. I'm not letting this thing go at this price. So I'm not saying I wouldn't buy apartments again. I'm just not buying. I'm not dying and putting my investors at risk. I'm not having money go hard without due diligence period. Okay, I'm going to do a due diligence every single time, and I'm going to sit there and I'm going to make sure it's the true value add. I can get in and out, but I'll be buying again. I'm sure you'll see in 2022, 23. I'll be picking some up because I'm just cashing up as much as I could right now.
We could talk to you all day. It's fantastic. We've actually never had somebody like you on our program. And talking about like being in your comfort zone, like you know what you're doing to such minutia. That's why, I mean, it's great to see the success and the specificity of what you're doing. Jeremy, maybe one more and then we got to wrap it up.
Sure. So Dan, you know what? I like to ask this question every time. Like, what daily habits do you have that kind of keeps you at your top of your game? Because there's a lot going on, a lot of changes in the market, just a lot of deals on your plate. What do you do to stay fresh?
Oh, that's an awesome question. And it's something I should go through this with everyone I mentor as well. It's the same exact thing. I'm very rigid with the schedule, believe it or not. But I changed my schedule. I used to get up early in the morning, run to the gym early in the morning. Now I get up kind of when I want, which is still 7:30, 8 o'clock, but I don't set an alarm clock. I go to the gym. My day doesn't start with business until 11 a.m. Eastern time. Right? I go to the gym. I sit with my wife. I have coffee. If my grandson's here, I hang out with him. I go to the gym. I'm done. I'm back. I'm showered by 11 o'clock. I make sure 4 days a week, I call at least two of my asset managers. 2 days a week, I call at least three investors each day, stay in touch with them, to talk to them. So I get a pulse of what's going on. I keep relationships in the community going on. And I always try to have at least one lunch or breakfast meeting a week with somebody in the community that, you know, I enjoy talking to about the industry. So that's really what I put it on my calendar. So that's the stuff I guarantee that I'm going to do. Then everything else kind of filters in, but I don't flex from those hours. Like, that's my time. I don't believe in, I'm against what everyone says, right? I used to grind. I don't believe in the grind anymore. I grinded for many years. My life is very intentional what I do, right? If I lose a deal because I don't want to spend it with my wife or sitting around with my grandson when he's here, when we get to watch him, then it's not worth it for me. So that's kind of where it's at for me. And that's all about my life. And that's why I call Passive to Prosperous. That's why the book is called that. That's why my podcast is called Passive to Prosperous. We launched. Everything is about living that. That's what prosperity is to me. That's what that means to me.
I love that clarity. Yeah, very intentional.
Thank you.
All right, we got to wrap it up. It's too good. We got to have you back on one day in the future.
Sounds great. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, thank you so much. So here, this is going to be on our website. It's on Facebook, LinkedIn, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, a bunch of different places, but. We've been kicking butt here, and Dan, appreciate it. That's Jeremy Moyer, Tejas Gosides, Real Estate Investor, MBA, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks so much.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys. Pleasure being on. I appreciate you both.